Blog Talk
Radio. Hey, hey. I done did it again. Hey, sis, I see you on this carpet tonight. How you doing? How you doing? Uh-oh, sis. I see you and I don't hear you. Nope. Don't hear you, sis. Anyway, guys, while we checking on Unique's mic, find out what's going on there, I'm just going to start off real quick. Sis, your mic all right? Okay. She's logging back in. We are here for another Thursday. This particular episode that we're doing tonight is very, very, very sentimental, very special to us. Sis, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
All righty. Yep, gotcha. I was just, you know, about to tell the people that, you know, this particular episode of the VIP is very special to us, very sentimental. It's something that, I mean, you and I talk about all the time, you know, on the low, as well as, you know, me and our sister, Sha. Big ups to our sister, Sha, who's going to be on tonight. Yeah, there's a lot of us, you know. But very sentimental, yeah. This particular episode, you know, something that I know you wanted to do for a long time. And I just, you know, I guess that tonight is the night. I guess, you know, this is the time frame to do it. You know, I feel like it was a few people that we probably didn't know, you know, in regards to Tamika. You know, so it just fell into place when it was supposed to fall into place. And I just hope that we can grow from it, we can heal from it. Other people who may listen, may be listening, can do the same. So that's all I had to say about that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's definitely something that's very touching. It's something that for this past week has been extremely difficult. I refuse to allow myself to slip into depression again, but I felt myself getting there.
Mm-hmm.
For all of you guys that don't know, Sunday made 4 years that I lost my mom to cancer. And what makes it extra difficult, loss is difficult for anybody, especially a parent, but what makes it really difficult is the fact that her birthday is 2 days after the day that she died. So whereas a lot of other people, they have a couple of months in between those two dates, and for me, it's like back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, myself, my son, and my brother, we're all Libras. We're all days apart. My mom and I were exactly 8 days apart. And her health started taking a turn for the worse the day before my birthday, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, whereas I would be extremely excited for my birthday to come, for all of our birthdays to come, now it's like, it's a bittersweet thing. And it's like I relive those events all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's something. It's a process. It's definitely a process.
Yeah, it's beyond difficult. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. And I'm extremely proud of myself for this year because, you know, for the past 3 years, I would, like, take off, you know, leading up to that time and through her birthday. And this year I said, you know what? I'm going to work. I don't want to just sit around the house and, you know, be sad and be miserable. And I went to work on her birthday and I, you know, tried to stay busy. is something.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with my son, and he's like, I understand that you, you know, can be sad on the 8th. I'm sad. But you got to look at her birthday as a day to rejoice and a day to, you know, try to celebrate her life. And I tried to take some heed to that.
And Lord knows, she was a celebratory kind of person, too, you know.
The turn of the queen.
Yes. Like, you know, it's difficult because she was always the life of the party on any given day, you know. So a lot of times when you lose people like that, it's, you know, it's even more difficult. She always had something smart to say or, you know, some sort of joke or whatever the case may be. And she just had a heart of gold, you know. So it was, I see my mom is here. Hey, Ma. So it was just, you know, difficult. You know, difficult even, you know, to lose her. And, you know, I always tell you, like, for me, the most difficult part losing her for me is because I felt like, and I talked to my mother about this too, I just felt like I was right here, you know. I felt like I was right here, and I just felt like as her health started taking a turn for the worse, as much as we talked at the time, she would never let me know.
And that's how,
you know,
that's who my mom was. My mother was always the type of person to suffer in silence. She would never, you know, let someone know what was really, really going on. You would never
mm-hmm.
know. That's just
who
she was. She didn't want
people
to worry.
Right. And when she did, you know, make little complaints, she would just, you know, like, quickly say something or keep it moving or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, make it seem like it wasn't that bad. Because I remember one time she and I, we were talking, and she was in a hospital at the time we were talking, and she started talking about, you know, the food there or whatever. So, you know me, I'm on it for anything. What's going on, you know? But as soon as I said, do I need to come there? She was like, no. You know, like, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. Like, no, you know, you good. You don't have to come. Like, you could come on a regular, but don't come because something's wrong with me. You know, I'm good. So I'm like, oh, okay. If you good, you good. I'll get there. When, you know, I'm coming anyway. I'll get there, but I'm not going to put the extra rush on it because I was like, oh, she said she good. And see, the thing is, what y'all don't know about Auntie Netta is that she could hold her own. She really could hold her own. So when she said that, I was like, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm just going to go there whenever, you know, when I get there, and I'm not going to rush, you know, to go there. And then, and she used to make jokes, like so many jokes on the phone when we would talk or whatever. So she kind of kept her personality until she just couldn't anymore. And by the time
mm-hmm.
she couldn't anymore, you know, she wasn't really talking at all. But she kept that who she was till she just couldn't do it anymore. So every time I spoke to her, I had to laugh about something because she was making a joke, no matter how she felt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it was just difficult because I felt like, you know, it was different when I was a kid, but then as an adult, to build that rapport with her and to build that, the rapport, to build the, you know, just adult to adult kind of like talks, it was just different. And I felt like as soon as I got that and started building that with her, she started to deteriorate. So that's what, you know, those are the two things that I feel like was the most and still is the most difficult about losing her, you know, in particular.
And you know what's so crazy? Because it's like the whole process just happened so quickly. So
mm-hmm.
quickly. And it,
mm-hmm.
you know, for you guys that don't know, you know, I'm from New York, born and raised, all my family there, but I live in Georgia now. So, you know, for a long time I felt guilt that I wasn't there with my mom when she
mm-hmm.
was going through, you know, being sick or whatever, because it happened so quickly. We found out in, I want to say, like the middle, towards the end of July, that she had cancer, and she was gone in October. It was like three and a half months. It was so quick. And, you know, she was planning on coming to move to Georgia with me that coming, you know, January. I would constantly stay on the phone with her doctors, and, you know, I wanted to bring her here to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say, no, I can't come because, you know, you guys have to go to work, and I'm going to be at home by myself. At least here in New York, you know, I have help. I have, you know, my grandmother, you know, other, you know, neighbors and people, you know, from the neighborhood to help me. And she was like, I'm going to be good. I'll be there. You know, I'm going to beat this. Once I get bad, I'm coming. I'm ready to retire. I'm coming. So it's like I have to live with that. And, you know, I have small children. I have a 5-year-old and a soon to be 8-year-old tomorrow. So it's
I can't.
I know. They were 3 and 1.
I was thinking about
them
yesterday, like, no.
Yeah.
And
it's like, you know, they're not going to have what my oldest son had. They're not going to have, you know, their grandma, a grandmother at all, basically. And it's like, you know, all they're going to have is what I tell them. You know, what we all tell them. And that's like extremely difficult. Extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Amir asked me 2 days ago, when's she coming back? And it was just like, to say never, that hurt it so bad.
And she loved her some damn, because she used to talk about them all the time. All the time. I remember we used to laugh because, you know how stubborn she was. She ain't here. And, you know, we always call, you know, Kamaje Maje. And she'd be like, hey, Margie. Mm-hmm. Hey, Margie. She'd be like, Ma, it's Maje, not Margie.
Not my
child. She'd be like, yeah, well, whatever. Hey, Margie. Oh, my gosh. She used to have me cracking up with that. But that was the fire in her personality. That's just, you know, how she was. You know, how she ain't hold no bars to see when how much weight I gained. As soon as I walked in the door, she was like, oh no. She was like, uh-uh.
Let me on the
no
phone
way.
And let me know.
And that's the hilarious thing. She said, she looked, well, there, you big as hell. That's what she said. Oh my goodness. So I'm laughing because, you know,
you
I can't get my feelings hurt. This
problem.
Is what I expected. Then she had the nerve
to
be like,
you had a self-esteem problem?
It would have been over. She had the nerve to get on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm calling Wani right now. I said, so now you go, well, thank God I already told her that I gained all this weight. You know, so it was just funny. But, you know, she was that mom that right there in Harlem Hospital, I remember having a cell phone with her, whatever. You know, you think about your mom. You don't really think about, you might think about a little ringtone, but you're thinking, if they do have a ringtone, they're going to play some Temptations
Bobby
or somebody, yeah, whatever. What? She was up in there with Rihanna banging the phone loud. Well, thank God she was in that room by herself, because I know somebody would have been like, if she turned off the lights one more time. And you know how that beat, that heavy beat, and dope. You just want to dance, but that was her. That was her.
A nut, nutcase.
Mm-hmm.
Look, at times I felt like I was the mama.
That is too funny. That's how I be feeling like with your auntie now. Right? She called me her mother sometimes. Well, here comes my mother. Well, she tell her home mother, well, don't tell me for this. And they know I break their faces if they don't, so she don't even, you know, she wastes her breath on that one because they know. Don't get hurt, you know. But,
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Look, if she don't
do
it.
Yeah, man, like, Chef Lee, right. Child. So yeah. So you know, that was Auntie Netta. She had that personality that you would never forget. Never, ever,
no.
ever forget that kind of personality. You know?
Yes. I always
loved you. You know what I'm saying? She had your back when she loved you.
Yes, yes. Like, either you loved her or you couldn't stand her. And if you couldn't stand her, that's because you ain't know her.
Mm-hmm. Look, like that saying goes, to know me is to love me, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. I used to have to tell her so many times, like, yo, like, I'll never forget one time she had came to Georgia to visit me. This was like a couple of months after I had Kamaja, and it was New Year's. She was ready to be turned up. We hung out with my two cousins, Rock and Scooby. This was her first time meeting Rock's wife. So she, being she is, and she just kept picking with the girl because she had like this really strong Jamaican accent, and she kept teasing her. And I had to, like, pull her to the side, like, listen, this girl don't know you. Whoa, that's who I am. She in the family. She going to have to know who I am. And like,
she going to learn who I am today. Rock ain't warned her before I met her. That's her thing. You should have been like, my aunt is coming. This is how she is, and that's that.
Don't take it personal, but I had to smooth it over. You know, I had to tell her, you know, that's how she is. She, you know, she don't mean no harm.
But that's
who she is.
Funny. I can't take it. You know what? I always laugh about? When we was kids, and you would tell her one thing about something that we're going to do or a place we're going to go, and she would wait good until I get to the house. And she would wait till you go to the bathroom or something like that, and then she'd come over and be like, well, where y'all going today? Well, what y'all going to do today? And I don't know because your fool self didn't tell me. Oh, I said we're going to the movies. This girl going to set me all the way up. Okay? I used to be like, no, she didn't wait. Because
she knew you was going to.
And, you know, it's those old school mothers, too, because, you know, if I was at your house, I was safe. If you was at my house, you know, you were safe, but, you know, those old school mothers be on it like, okay, you here, I know you here, I know who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Your mama
know
what
you're at. I don't care who you are. Go get the phone right now. You know, make sure your mom knows, you know, that you're all the way over here. You didn't came from the Heights to come to Harlem. Like, what's going on here? You know? And, I mean, they knew every time, but that's just what those old school authentic moms did. You know, they looked out for everybody's kids. That's how it was. That's how it should be now. But,
definitely.
That was going.
But, sis, so we didn't talk about my mom, and I was an adult, grown, when this happened. She was here to see me, you know, have my children. She was here for my wedding. She was here for everything. And you, on the other hand, you didn't have that.
I didn't.
My sister lost her dad at the tender age of 6, I believe, right?
I was 6 and a half. Yeah.
So
I was 6 years old.
I want you to, you know, talk about how that affected you and how different do you think your life would have been had you had your dad throughout your adult years?
Wow. I don't know. You know, it's kind of difficult to say how different it would have been. I always believe that even if my mom and my dad weren't still together, that he still would have been a provider for me because he always was. So if he wasn't the greatest husband at times, he still provided for, you know, our family. I I vaguely remember that. And, you know, my mom would always tell me, you know, even if they had arguments or whatever, it wasn't like, well, if we have arguments, well, then ain't nobody eating in here. And ain't, you know what I mean? Well, the kids going back to school, ain't nobody going to have clothes. And, you know, he didn't do that kind of stupid stuff. I guess because he did some other stupid stuff. But so I do believe that either way you put it, if he was still here today, that he would be a provider. I believe that he would have been the type to instill certain things in me, because I do remember he would always say that if you give somebody something, you don't take it back. Don't be an Indian giver. And I remember that, because I remember asking, like, you know, what's an Indian giver? And I never thought about it right now, but, you know, every time I give things from my heart. And, you know, who knows? It could stem from that, and just my personality to be a giver. But, you know, I can't really, I don't know, because I feel like when you lose your parent at that young of an age, it becomes something that you adapt to, because this is what you know. You've had more years without them than you have with them. I do know. So it's almost like, you know, a strong person, if a strong person is put in the war, they're going to fight their way out. And that's what, and that's the only thing that you can do. You know what I mean? So I feel like when you lose them that early in the game, you really, either you're really going to sink or swim. Not to say that it can't happen that way as an adult, but when you're a kid, you're definitely going to sink or you're going to swim. And here's the thing. When you're that age, sometimes you don't know how to do that or what that looks like or what that means. Hey, ATL. That's our other guest.
That's
so
Gabby.
Know,
her name is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. You kind of, you don't know what that means. You don't know what that looks like. Feel like I always had a fighting spirit for everything, even up until this day, so I had no choice. I do remember being kind of depressed. I remember that. I couldn't calculate the time frame, but I didn't say anything about it or really, really cry about it in front of my mom for a whole year. You know, so I went through. In school, nobody was cognizant to say, to be like, oh, well, you know, it's Father's Day. The kids are making Father's Day cards. You know, let's do something else with Monifa. So I had to sit through that all of my elementary school years. You know, and at that particular time, for the most part, a lot of people had their, both of their parents. So it was even difficult, you know, to explain to other kids, like, well, my father's dead. And it's like what? Like, that really happened? You know, it's not a reality. So for me, and even, you know, Shy and I have talked about this too. And, you know, her memory is like, Shy, please, next to nothing most of the time. But we remember things that other people wouldn't remember as a kid with their parents, because that's all we have. So you're going to remember stuff.
You hold
like,
on
example,
to it.
I remember something just as silly as this. I remember being in Washington Heights in a car with my dad right by McDonald's on 169th Street. And I remember my dad, I asked my dad where, I was like, Dad, where are we going? And he said, Nunya. And I said, well, what's Nunya? And he said, none of your business.
Yep.
And I was like, okay. You know, but it's little things like that, that if my father was still here, I might not remember a little story like that, but I have to remember what I have. So, you know, and I don't have much.
That much.
You know, and another thing is the fact that not only is it that I don't have much, but, you know, if I don't remember these things, I won't have much. Oddly enough, I live what, about 5 blocks away from where my father was murdered. And as of late, hey, Tamika, I see you too. As of late, I've just always wanted to know the full story, you know, exactly what happened on that night. And I recently...
Do you think it would be closure for you to know what
happened? Sometimes I kind of wonder if it would ever be closure for me. I don't know. But what I do know, God reason, I really want to know. And a couple of months ago, I talked with my God brother's father. And, you know, he said that he would, you know, talk to me about that particular night when it happened. I learned this year that I have...
I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. I learned this year that people who knew my father forever, even if I wasn't that close with them, I have an attachment to them. You know, like my godfather, I took it very bad when my godfather died a few months ago. That was my father's best friend. And even though me and my godfather didn't have much of a relationship, it was still, I took it really bad. And not to mention his memorial was Father's Day weekend. And, you know, my godfather would always say, you know, David Biddings was my very best friend. He would always say that, you know. And so anybody who had the type of relationship with my dad to where they hung out together, they were together all the time or whatever, I really that kind of attachment to them to where it feels like if they leave or if something happens to them, another piece of my father is, you know, being taken away from me. And I think that's why I took my godfather's death as badly as I did, because, you know, I don't be getting up to talk at nobody's funeral and stuff. But, you know, I had to, and I felt like I had to because that was my father's best friend, and the only thing that I could think of is if my father was here, he would have had to say something, you know. So I felt like I was doing my father a favor, even though you can't even do a dead person a favor, you know. So it's just very weird how it can be when all you have is 6 years or 3 years, you know, with your dad or with your mom. It's very difficult. I look at older men, and I always say, I wonder what my father would look like now. Or, you know, I wonder if his hair would be like this. So I wonder, you know, my father was scheduled to have an open heart surgery about a couple of weeks before he was murdered. You know, so I think about that. You know, how would his health be now? You know, all kinds of things through my mind. What type of advice would he give me about men? I feel like, you know, the things that I have learned about them, I had to kind of learn on my own. And then, of course, you know, some of the sexual things that have taken place when I was earlier on in life took a toll on me as well. So it's like, even if I wanted to talk to him about that kind of stuff, I can't. So it's a lot of different things because, you know, girls always want to be daddy's little girl. And I mean, I'm the baby of the four. So, I mean, I was daddy's little girl, but I never really got to experience what that really, really, really feels like. So, you know, just mixed emotions. I have certain songs that I remember played in heavy rotation on the radio. Now, mind you, you know how we are. We love music, so we were always around music. But I specifically remember the songs that played in heavy rotation, not just something that you heard every day. I remember what the hits were. And it's like one or two specific ones, one by Luther Vandross, that every time I would hear that, even out through my adulthood, I would be like, oh, like I can't. They played this song all day long at the time. I can't. You know, maybe about a year ago for the first time that song came on and I was sitting in my kitchen doodling because, you know, I'm always writing, and I felt like a six-year-old. And for the first time in my life, I was able to articulate exactly the pain that I felt. And as I was writing on that envelope, I wrote down exactly what I felt at six. So, again, it's difficult because at six, sometimes you can't say, you know, I'm going
exactly
through this feeling right now, or I feel like that. But I felt it right in my heart, and I knew exactly what word to say that pain represented for me. So and then exactly a year to the date, the same song came on the radio. Like a year later, I was like, wow, how ironic is that, that 365 days later, you know, the song came on. And I'm better with that song now.
You know how I think, and, you know, I always have hope. What if that's your dad? What if that's like a sign from him? And every time that song plays, that's just him letting you know that he's okay and that he's with you.
I'd be like, well, pick another one, because this one make me sad. They made some other ones now. Wait a minute. You know, but it is difficult. It's definitely difficult just not knowing, because a lot of times I find myself, I have to ask people, you know, well, what do you think my father would have said? Or what do you, I remember him being really funny. The blessing that I have is that I can see him every day through me, because I look just like my dad. I favor my mom, but I look just like my dad. Shape, nose shape, eye shape, thickness of my lips, everything. So, you know, I'm blessed with that I could, you know, that I could live with that. And I always said that when I married, that I would hyphenate my last name, because that's the only thing that I have of my dad's that can never be taken away from me is my last name. So
that's right.
And I might not have thought that way if he was still alive. I might have been like, man, we dropping this. Daddy, I'm still your little girl, but, you know, I'm getting married. I'm married now, Daddy. You know, so it's just a lot. You know, it's a lot. But I do want to make sure, because we didn't even intro or do anything.
I know, we jumped
right
into it.
We did, because we're talking about the people that we love the most. So I do want to intro really, really quickly. I want to thank our guests really, really quickly for being on the VIP. Please just stand by as soon as we finish doing our intro. We are definitely going to have you
and
on
gonna,
and get your take.
Wait, 1 second, sis. Before we go to anyone, I want you to do me a favor and play Supermarket Flowers. This is a song that Alan sent to me yesterday. This is one of my other best friends that wanted to be on the show to talk about his dad that he lost 5 years ago, but he wasn't able to get off work. So he found this song. It's by Ed Sheeran. I thought I knew all of Ed Sheeran's songs, but this song, I was boo-hoo crying yesterday, Tamika, after
and
we had that great conversation.
He sent it to me, too, and I was like, I was like, do I want this?
Beautiful.
You know, I ain't the sentimental one.
It took me there. It took me there. But I just want you to play it. And ladies, I hope I'm not. We're all here for each other today.
That's it.
But just, I want you to play that, and then we're gonna go to our guests.
All righty.
Thank you for joining the VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet, as we want to keep our VIP area litter-free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
I took the supermarket flowers from the windowsill. I threw the day-old tea from the cup. Packed up the photo album Matthew had made, memories of a life that's been loved. Took the get well soon cars and stuffed animals. poured the old ginger beer down the sink. Dad always told me, don't you cry when you're down, but Mom, there's a tear every time that I blink. Oh, I'm in pieces, it's tearing me up, but I know a heart that's broke is a heart that's been loved. So I'll sing hallelujah. You are an angel in the shape of my mom. When I fell down, you'd be there holding me up. Spread your wings as you go. And when God takes you back, he'll say, hallelujah, you're home. I fluffed the pillows, made the bed, stacked the chairs up. Folded your nightgowns neatly in a case. John said he'd drive, then put his hand on my cheek and wiped a tear from the side of my face. Now I hope that I see the world as you did, 'cause I know a life with love is a life that's been lived. So I'll sing hallelujah. You are an angel in the shape of my mom. When I fell down, you'd be there holding me up. Spread your wings as you go. And when God takes you back, he'll say hallelujah, you're home.
Hallelujah, you're home.
An angel in the shape of my mom. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Woo. Gabby.
And what got me, before you go to Gabby, what got me is how he was saying how they were taking, you know, the pictures from the hospital and the flowers and all the stuff that was there. It took me back to October 8th, 2013, after I had to go identify my mom's body at the hospital, you know, after all that was over. Then I had to go back up to her room, and I went and got all the pictures that I had brung there, a snow globe of a picture of me and her. You know, I had brung her photo albums and her cards and, you know, all that stuff. And it's just like, you know, we, as people, we just get so caught up into stuff, into materialistic stuff. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean nothing. When you're gone, you're nothing. You're nothing. All your stuff, all the money that you have, you know, is just here for people to fight over. We have to love. You can't take it with you. We got to love. We got to love. We got to show that we love people, that we say that we love. Love is an action word. I just have to say that. But
it,
Gabby,
absolutely is.
Yes, I want to go ahead and go to Gabby, and I want to also thank her for being here, because she lost her dad in June.
Wow.
And he was her everything. Like, she would always talk to me about her dad. And I used to just look at her like, wow, you know, like my dad is here. I don't have that relationship with my dad, and I would never know what that was like. But her dad was like her Superman to her.
So, right. Right. Stand by, Gabby, because I'm having a little little issue in the studio real quick. So just stand by, but, you know, we're going to keep on talking because, you know, what I thought about, as you were saying, you know, October 8th, I was just thinking about how much of a rough year it was for us, period, end of story. You know, I lost my godmother right before I can say, right before I lost your mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew right before, right after, right in between my godmother and your mother, my niece's grandmother. It was just really, really crazy. And the fact that you said, you know, we have to love. We always knew we loved each other, but that particular year, the end of 2013 throughout 2014 especially, we spent so much time loving on each other and being there for each other and crying on the phone and laughing on the phone, you know, at the funny
and
things,
being silent,
you know,
on the
story.
There were times that nothing was said. That we didn't say. There were times when nothing was said, where I just called you.
I just knew you was there, and you knew I was there, you know. So it's very, very true. I got my studio back acting like it got some sense. Gabby, thank you so much for being on the VIP.
You're welcome. Can you hear me fine?
Yes, we do.
We hear you just fine.
Okay, all right. So I just lost my dad this year, June. Excuse me, I'm breaking up already. I just lost him June 2nd, and you could not have told me a year ago that my dad was going to pass away. Me and my daddy had a bond to where if he said something was wrong with me, he would call me, and if I said something was wrong with him, I would call him. And I'm the oldest daughter. It's five of us. I'm the oldest girl. So I was the only girl for 5.5, 6 years before my baby sister came in. So I grew up around him and my three brothers, and, you know, I hang with my dad.
Uh-oh, your phone is breaking, Gabby.
Take your time, Gabby. Take
uh-oh.
Your time.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
You have a
speaker? I got you on an earpiece because I'm driving. I'm downtown Atlanta on Peachtree Street between these buildings, so it may interfere with my reception. Can you hear me?
Okay.
We hear you.
Okay. So what's weird is I said three years ago that my dad was going to pass. He retired from City of Decatur. He was there for 32 years, and at his retirement ceremony, I was just boo-hoo crying, and, you know, nobody could figure it out. Everybody was like, well, you know, maybe she just excited, but I just sensed that he's retiring. He's not going to have long. So 9 months after my daddy retired, he was a diabetic. He stopped his toe. And, you know, being a man, didn't want to get seen about. He didn't tell anybody that his foot was infected. So he worked 46 years of your life, and you lose your leg 9 months after retirement. And my dad had to stay with me, and I've never seen my daddy so weak, so vulnerable. But he stayed with me, and I encouraged my dad. Like, come on, Will, let's get out the house today. Let's drive. He felt like people was going to treat him bad because he was an amputee. And, you know, but I gave him that courage, like, no, Will, it's going to be okay. So that happened, and he retired October 2014. He lost his leg July 2015. He got his prosthetic December 2015, and he was scared to drive, but I got my daddy in his truck, and I got him back driving again. So, you know, So 2016, he was fine. You know, he was cutting grass, working on his cars, fishing, you name it. You could not tell my dad was a prophet, an amputee, until he lifted his pant leg. So, and the feeling came back again real strong last year, you know, because he kept doing things like, you know, well, it's things about the Woodard bloodline that, you know, I want to tell you about, or, you know, about aunties and uncles, you know. And you know, I was just looking at him to the point where I would even record my dad walking in the house, you know. And I can remember I went to Florida back in March. He did not want me to go. And I'm like, why don't you want me to go to Florida? What's the problem? And I think then that's when he was feeling sick. So while I was in Florida, my mom called me. She said, Gabby, your daddy not feeling good. He has a bad cold. So she get him to the doctor. He gets on a medicine called Bactrim. But all of a sudden, he started feeling real weak. So I came to the house one day, and my daddy was passed out on the bathroom floor. That was March 28th. And then a few days later, we found out he had GIST, which is a stomach cancer or a tumor in his stomach. And it seemed like it just went downhill from there. And he got so grumpy and mad at the world towards the end, but I still came around him. I still came over there and took care of my dad. I mean, if it came to it, if I had to wipe my daddy, I would, you know. So
that's right.
We were all over at the house May 27th. That was my son's 14th birthday. We were over there. And he had just got home from the hospital because 2 days prior he passed out because that tumor was making him bleed out. So every week he was needing a blood transfusion. It was making him real weak. So he had just came home that day, and I can remember him sitting in my brother's truck, and his eyes was real glossy. I said, "Well, have you been crying?" He said, "No, I'm just tired." So, you know, we get him in the house, and, you know, so we decided to cook over there for my son's birthday. And my daddy was fine. He was surrounded by family. He was weak, but he was fine. And I left the house at 3 o'clock Sunday morning, and 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, my daddy wanted to go sit outside. And my brother took him outside. And he slipped in his backyard, and he grinned, smiled. He said, "It sure is green out here," because he put pride in his yard. He said, "Brian, go in the house and get my hat." And my brother didn't even take 2 steps in the house, and my daddy was gone. He went into full cardiac arrest. All I can remember is getting to the house and seeing my dad having to be revived. And I don't know what happened, and I know I'm not supposed to be mad at God, but right now I am, because my daddy was such a wonderful person. So if it was somebody's time, why would you pay somebody like him less than 3 years after retirement? And I don't understand why, because even though I have my brothers and my mom, they don't love me like my daddy did. And I know they don't, and they can say they do, but I can't call on them for anything the way I can call on my dad. So I miss my dad, and I feel real alone, even with my kids. I feel like I have nobody, and I wouldn't wish this hurt on anybody, losing a parent.
Mm-hmm. It's like a piece of you is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's even days where I literally feel like if I didn't have kids, I would probably take my life, because I cannot deal with this pain.
Wow,
Gabby,
we thank God that He gave you something to live for. You know, we thank God for that, and you know, it's. It's definitely a process. You weren't on the line. Unique and I got a chance to talk about our experiences with our parents. And I lost my dad at 6, you know. And I'm listening to all the things that you said about yours. And I think that it's just a blessing, you know, that you were able to be around him as long as you were. which is a good thing, but that still doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. I feel like it probably hurts even more, you know. But again, yeah. like I said, I thank God that you have, like, you know that you have your kids and you have to live for your kids, and your daddy loves you so much that he wouldn't want you to do anything, you know, to hurt yourself, and he wants you to be here. So you do have some things to look forward to, even though it doesn't feel like it. Trust me, take it from me. I've been like this since I was 6 years old without my dad. And if I can make it, I know you can make it. You can make it.
That's right,
I got
Gabby.
Chills on my arms just listening to you. My God.
Me too. Me too. Me too. And Gabby, listen to me. I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. That's how I felt every day. Like, if I didn't have my kids mm-hmm. to see about, I wouldn't have got out of the bed. I wouldn't have. I wanted to end it. You know, it was times that I believe that I mistreated my kids because
mm-hmm.
I was in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
But do things, like, I know, you know, you've seen me go on the shows after show after show, concerts. That
mm-hmm.
was something, that was the one time when I would go to those shows that I wasn't thinking about the hurt and the pain that I was into. You love cars. Your dad loved cars. Just
mm-hmm.
all I can say is just try to stay busy. That's the, and I want to also say this, you know, I started drinking a lot, hanging out, drinking. But the crazy thing is I would never get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was pointless. It was completely pointless. And it's like I wanted to. I wanted to take that pain away. I didn't want to feel it. I didn't want to deal with it. I needed an escape. And I thank God that I didn't turn into an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
That pain, it hurts so bad. And
mm-hmm.
I can relate to you saying, I don't want to be here. I do not want to be here. I don't want to wake up and continue to feel this every day. But I'm 4 years into it, and it doesn't get no easier. It doesn't.
I just,
you got to have your mom to know that
know,
he's okay.
I can remember his he bought a 76 Monte Carlo brand new. And recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, we sent it to Tennessee with my baby brother. He's going to fully restore it. And just seeing that car leave was just devastating to me. Because I learned how to drive in that car. We all came from the hospital in that car. I can remember sitting on the back deck with my dad in. Maybe 2-3 weeks before he passed, and he looked at the car, he said, I sure wish I could get it down the road one last time.
Wow. Gabby, you know, one thing that Unique and I always tell all of our guests, you know, is that, you know, if you need us, we're here for you.
That's
especially
right.
You,
call me.
Because we know, you know, we know what this is like. Like I said, unfortunately, I had to live with it all of my life except for 6 years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we understand. I thank you so much for being courageous and sharing your story so close to the time, you know, that it happened, because that is extremely difficult. This is a fresh cut
mm-hmm.
for you. But what I'm going to do now, I'm going to place you on hold. And I'm going to open a line up for my sis who's on the line, Shawana
mm-hmm.
Collins. And, you know, she's going to talk a little bit about her experience. Then we're going to go into author Tamika Reed. Woo-hoo! I'm excited about author Tamika Reed. I just met her and still haven't met her face-to-face. But, you know, the timing was right. So this is why we met her.
Yes,
I met her
was.
At the time that I met her. You know, this wasn't a mistake, because we've been trying to do this show for the longest, but I believe that we couldn't do it without Tamika. So let me place you back.
Yeah, it wasn't time.
That's right. Let me place you back on hold, and I'm going to open a line for my sis. Hey, sissy girl. How are you?
Hey. I don't know what I was doing. I've been on this line, honey. I've been on here, hearing everything.
Okay. Well, we're glad you've been here.
And I'm like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
That is hilarious. She turned this thing into a cell phone commercial. Can you hear me now? Too funny.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, now, sis.
Hey.
You, you and I have a very similar story in that you lost your mom at the age of 6. I lost my dad at the age of 6. They both were they were both murdered. They died a violent death. All of that. And so, you know, we had to spend our lives without them. How was that adapted to you?
I don't think there's ever an adaptation.
That's my
ever.
Nephew in the background, y'all.
I do apologize. There's a almost 3-year old. He doesn't respect anything. Okay? He
he's about to be a three-nager.
So I do apologize. He's about to be a three-nager in a couple of weeks. I don't think there is a – I was listening to the young lady, Gabby, right? Gabby? Is she still there?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you know, I've been working on this book that I'm working on, and the book is about dealing with the loss of parents and of family members, mainly parents, and how you'll never get over it, but God will help you get through it. And because you have such a connection from the parents you love, you will always feel apart. You know, there's a disconnection for life. So hearing the things that Gabby was saying is something I've been dealing with since I was 6 years old. Monifa can definitely attest to what I've been going through all my life, losing both of my parents, but losing my mom at the youngest age of 6 years old.
Tell my nephew we gonna fight.
MJ,
he's singing in the background, y'all. But yes, I definitely can attest to it. And I remember with you know, just going through a lot of things. I remember you going through the whole thing of just, I feel like, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be love, all of those voids that you knew that would have definitely not been a void if your mom was around. You went through it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
And knowing that my life would have been much different if she was still here, and knowing that the things that I faced, I would have never faced those things if she was still there, and being treated differently because I didn't have my parents around, being treated differently and always be reminded that I would never be treated a certain way because my mother wasn't here. So even as a young age, I can't do it for myself. I wasn't able to take care of myself. I wasn't able to walk away. I wasn't able to do anything. So there's never, and to me, in my opinion, there's never an adaptation. I don't think you could ever adapt to losing anything that you love so dearly. But God will give you the strength to get through it. He would give you strength. And there will always be moments. I mean, my aunt, she passed away when she was her late 70s. She said, I'm 70-something years old, and I still miss my mother. So those things would never be taken away. Would never be taken away from us but he gives
those
us
feelings.
Those feelings would never die. But, you know, God will give us strength. And I think for the young lady and your father, I think it's a blessing that, you know, you were able to have such a relationship with your dad. And it's our goals as the kids to live out the little legacy, you know, even when I was hearing Monifa remembering songs. I remember songs. People can't believe how can you remember your mother? You were only
that's
6.
Me,
that was the only memory I had. That's why
like,
I can remember songs. Mecca. Sorry
I
about
said
that.
That.
So,
that's exactly what I said. I said that. I think before you got online.
Right.
You remember what you have because that's all you have. You don't have anything but 6 years of memory, and that's for both of us. And you don't remember 6 years because from the first 3 years, you're a baby. So you have 3 years or 4 years, and you remember the slightest things. You are so right.
You remember.
Go ahead, sis. I'm sorry. But I said
that's
that before you got on this
line. How can you remember this? You're too young. The reason why you don't remember because you had additional years added on. But because that's all I had, they're vivid. I remember, so you talking about songs, I always knew my mom had a man problem because she would always play, I don't love you anymore. I'd be like, oh, God. Somebody.
It's just that simple.
Okay, my mom loves some Chakotan and Rufus. She loves some Teddy Pitty. And when she was in love, she played Teddy Pitty grass. I knew the emotions, honey. I knew what they were. And I look like my mother. I am built like my mother. Everyone says that I act like my mom. I have swag like my mom. And I never get a long time ago. I think I was in my 20s, and I cut my hair real short, and it was blonde. And I went to go to my aunt's house, and she was sleeping. And I walked in the house, and I woke her up. I was like, Yvonne. And she jumped up. She started screaming. I was like, what is going on? And she was like, oh, my God. You look just like Gina, which mother named Regina. And she just started crying. She was like, she almost had like a cardiac arrest because when I woke her up, she thought I was my mom. And she was like, oh, she just started screaming. So I would, in even, you know, a moment, no matter how old you are, how long someone has been gone, there's always a moment of grieving and missing. And that's when I had my son almost 3 years ago in the hospital. I'm like, why am I crying like this? Even though this was the happiest moment of my, the happiest moment of my life, and my son is my miracle baby, even in that, I'm like, God, I should be very grateful. Why am I crying? Because I wish my mother was sitting across from me getting on my nerves.
You know what I think is a blessing for both of us, though? We both look like the parents that we lost at 6 years old. And I was saying before you got online that I just think, you know, that it's a blessing that we have that because, you know, we can be reminded every single day, you know.
When you look in
the mirror. Of them just from looking at us, you know, looking in the mirror, you know. So that's a blessing. And God has his way of sprinkling little blessings on you even amidst this. But I promise you this. There are days that I definitely can, and it, you know, when you lose your parents so young, you have days that no matter how many years it's been, you can go right back to feeling the same way you felt when they told you, you know.
Yep.
I have days that I'm 6 years old, even if it's for 30 seconds, and I'm just like, whoo, you know. Yeah. You know, so you have those, and then sometimes you have to, when you lose them so young, you recall your life, and you say, well, when I was 8, I was in this talent show. I wish my father was there. I wish my mother was there. Oh, well, when I was 12, I graduated from this, and only my mother was there, or only my dad, you know. So when you lose them young, you do go back and you think about everything they missed that was special to you, that you had to go on and in life
despite
and me, just not think about it. Like, for me, I just have to not think about it. Like, well, he ain't coming back, so you ain't going to be at my sixth grade graduation. You won't be at my middle school graduation, my high school, my college. You know, I thank God for the couple of pageants that he was at, you know, of mine, because I started this stuff when I was 3 years old. And actually, the picture that's used on the Facebook thing, I'm actually in that picture, but I was so small that you couldn't see me in the picture. But, you know, that was a picture of my dad at one of my pageants, you know. But you think about every single thing they missed, and you think about the fact that, guess what? If you live to be 99, they're going to miss everything. So if I live to be 99, that means my father missed 92, 93 of, you know, of my years on this earth. So that means he missed everything, you know. So, you know, like I said earlier, it's almost like being put in a situation where either you sink or you swim. You sink because this happened to you, or you swim. And some
that's
days
right.
You might just feel like sinking.
You might be feel like you're drowning. Yes, you're right about that.
You know, so it's difficult, but I do thank God for the little bit of things that I, you know, that I do remember, you know.
I don't think there's
not
one parent. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that we talk about that all the time, the little stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I think about your story, how you're talking about the ice cream, you just bought the ice cream with the Bigfoot ice cream.
The Bigfoot and the bubble gum and the Bigfoot. Yes,
yes,
right, and the big toe. Bubble gum on the big toe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I don't think I've ever done this, but I want to thank you because, you know, when I first lost my mom, you know, you would call me and you would tell me those stories and I would just be listening to her like, man, you know, she'd be like, got to pray. And, you know, just the things that she would say. And I thank you for that.
Well, you know, that's why we're here, you know. We're here because, you know, these things we cannot control. And then the young lady was talking about why God would do this, why he would take that away. Those are questions that we can never, ever get answers to, you know. And as a child and as the daughter or the son, we will continuously ask those questions, you know, because those are moments. But, you know, God has to give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And right now, this is Gabby's grieving period, and we all
That's
have
right.
those moments, you know, and I'm praying for her strength, and I'm praying that her kids would give her strength and that she just reflect on everything her father told her so that she can be a parent, a great parent too, and give her kids everything her father gave her, and that's why he gave it
right.
to her. That's why he gave her that. So she can give it to her children. That's why it was given to you. My mother, I know my mother loved me those 6 years. She was 19 when she had me. She was very, very young. And she made some bad decisions. But she was young when she had me. And she only did what she knew to do. So I don't fault that. You know, I don't blame her. And I always wonder, what would she look like now? Drive me crazy, telling me mm-hmm. about how to raise my child. You know, just going crazy because it's her grandbaby, you know, just losing her mind. And I've gotten many calls when I had my son about, oh, my God, your mother would be going crazy right now if she was here. You'd be like, I don't want to hear that.
I know.
But, you know, at that moment, you know, they don't understand it because, you know, it's you that had the loss. You know, like when Megan get married and have to find somebody to walk down the aisle, besides her dad, right? So these are the things that those moments that comes where we be like, Dad, no matter how old we are, no matter, I feel like there's like a secret society of when you lose parents. So people don't know the grieving that we really do and don't really know the pain mm-hmm. because some of us are stronger. Some of us are not strong at all. There are people, i.e. my brother, we have the same father, he hasn't been able to pull up by the straps as strong as I have been able to. And so he has a lot of downtime, but he calls me automatically and talks about Dad, and I give him that time, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sis, we're going to put you on hold. I want to open
Got
up
it.
This line for author Tamika Lee. It's such
Tamika.
A blessing to have found you when I found
she
you, Tamika. And
yes,
I want you to know
Mecca.
That you are definitely
Mecca.
A warrior. Yes.
Yes, she is. But Mecca, let me tell you something. I ain't even tell you. Me and Tamika, we spoke yesterday for about an hour and a half. probably about 45 minutes. And Lord have mercy. Thank you for finding her on Instagram. Because she is
I
definitely
think she found
a blessing.
Me, actually. But,
oh,
but
well,
either way, Tamika,
well,
I don't know how it happened. I think you
special.
Found me, and I said this. I look, and I said this lady is so dope. And I'm looking at her quotes because you know I write quotes too. So I'm looking at her quotes, and I'm like, oh no, well, I'm gonna have to follow her right on that. Tamika, welcome to the VIP.
Hi, you guys. Oh my God, this is so amazing.
It's so amazing.
Wow.
She's an awesome.
You guys
have to comment already. Go ahead, Tamika.
Gabby, he's here in ATL, so we're going to all have to hang out.
Yes, yes, definitely. We have to get up soon, yes. And excuse my voice. I do have a cold. I was feeling a little sick last night and this morning, so
so I'm trying to get over it, but excuse my voice right now. But, oh, my God, listening to your stories, oh, man, it's just, oh, it's like, wow. You know, you never know a person when they go through so much, you know, dealing with the loss of a loved one. It's not easy at all, but God do give us strength to get through it.
Yes, he does.
You know, and we have to want to be able to get through it. We have to want it. You know, in order for God to help us through it, we have to want it. We have to know that our loved ones will always be with us. Even though they're not here in the flesh, they will always be with us. So while we're walking in the streets, you know, things are happening. Like she said with the song, you know, it can be a song. It can be a person that will say something that will remind you of your mom or your dad or your loved one, you know, that you can just smile and be like, wow, I know that was you, mom, or I know that was you, dad, you know. And mm-hmm. that will give you joy. That will put so much joy in your heart because, I mean, it's nothing you can do about them being gone. It's nothing you can
mm-hmm.
do. All you can do now mm-hmm. is just remember all of the good memories that you've had and just keep going and know that they'll mm-hmm. always be with you and just push through, because they wouldn't want you sitting around crying and being miserable. And, you know, like, we're going to have our days. Don't get me wrong. We will have our days when we just sitting in and we're tearing up because we're like, dang, I wish my mom was here at this very moment, especially when you're going through something and you're like, dang, if I can only hear my mother or my father's voice right now because I need this type of advice. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, all we can do is just pray on it. You know, sometimes your loved ones will come in your dreams. Like my mom, she always come in my dreams. And it just, even when I did my memoir, you know, I was skeptical about putting that out. I was afraid to. But to have her come in my dream and just smile, that was confirmation for me, Tamika, go ahead. You know, so the moments that we have of our loved ones, it just pushes us to keep going. You know, and our children, man, our children is our motivation. They help keep us going. You know, they're there for a reason. God blessed us with our own children for a reason, because the things that I've gone through, losing all of the loved ones that I've lost, if I didn't have my daughters, I don't know where would I be. I don't even think,
wow.
You know, after losing my first daughter, father, that I would be here today if I didn't have my daughter and my mother at the time telling me that I had to be strong for my daughter because I just thought that my life was over, you know. But parents, they, you know, I didn't grow up with my dad. He's been in jail practically all my life. But I did have my mom. I did have a stepfather, you know. But it was just, it was devastating when she passed. You know, I didn't even want to believe it, but I had no choice because although we didn't have that good relationship growing up, you know, but when she got sick and I moved out, things were so much better than it once was before. And when she passed,
mm-hmm.
like I said, it was just that moment of time that I didn't want to believe. I didn't want to believe that this was going on. And I remember when I got the phone call from my brother, and they were telling me that my mom went into cardiac and they, you know, tried to bring her back or whatnot. Now, she was in the hospital on the machine, and this is my brother telling this to my boss because I didn't want to get on the phone. I didn't want to hear no bad news. I said, no, I don't want to hear nothing about my mother. And they begged me to get on the phone. And when I did, I said, no, this can't be serious. And I put the phone
mm-hmm.
down. I put the phone down, and my boss was like, we're going to the hospital right now. And I didn't want to go. They had to grab my arm to take me to the hospital. And when I got there, I just couldn't believe it. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to leave my mom there. And what hurt me so much was I thought my stepfather was going to stay there with her all night, and he didn't. So when he called me, and he's like, your mom went into cardiac arrest again, and I'm on my way up to the hospital, I just wanted to just snatch him through the phone and be like, I thought you was there.
Right.
Because most of the time, Yeah, most of the time when a person is on their deathbed and they hear their loved one in their ear saying, fight, you gonna make it, fight. You know, mm-hmm. they're hearing that encouraging words, they're willing to fight. But if no one is there and they feel like no one loves them, they're going to just give up. And that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt like my mother just gave up because no one was there. And if I had known that my stepfather wasn't going to be there in that hospital, I would have stayed there right by her side. But he said he was going to be there, and I came home to be with my daughter, you know. And then when we got there the next day, that morning, it's like, okay, she only have a few minutes to live. So everybody got to have their chance to say their last goodbyes. And I'm like, I can't even believe it. But before I was able to go back into the room to say my last goodbyes, and when I say I broke down because I was so used to hearing my mother tell me, you know, I love you every morning or every night, calling my job throughout the day. We calling each other, Ma, what you doing? Oh, I'm in the nail salon getting my nails done. And I'm like, Ma, you just had to go get your nails done. You know, she just had to go get her nails done. And I believe that the fumes in the nail salon is what triggered her breathing. Because when she got home, you know, that's when her breathing was messed up. You know, and they had to call the ambulance, and that's when the ambulance came. So I believe that kind of like triggered it, but she was already sick, you know, and she thought she mm-hmm. was getting better, but she really wasn't, you know, she really wasn't. And I didn't know that was going to be her last birthday. I'm so glad that I was able to give her a gathering because she died a couple of months later. Now, when I planned it, I wanted it to be a surprise for her. I didn't tell her, you know, how many people was coming and who was coming. I didn't tell her at all. I just told her, I said, Ma, I'm cooking dinner for you. And she was like, oh, what you cooking? I know she loves seafood. And I was like, I'm going to make some seafood for you. And there was a guy that was selling seafood. He worked at a seafood spot. And he said, you sure you want all of this? It came up to 200 and change. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. And he said, you only get one mom, man. You only get one mom. And I said, you know what? Bag it up. I'm going to take it. And I brought it all, went back to my house, got her cake, cooked it up, had my aunt make the shrimp. And she enjoyed that day. When I say she enjoyed that day, she enjoyed that day. And I wrote a poem for her, not knowing that I'll be a writer this day in life. You know, I wrote a poem for her, and she sat there, and she was so amazed. And I just told her, like, Mom, I love you, not knowing that was going to be her last birthday. So I'm glad that I had the opportunity to give her that gathering that I gave, because I didn't know that it was going to be her last birthday. I didn't know, you know, and it's not easy. It really isn't, you know, having my daughters, trying to, you know, teach them right from wrong, what to do, and dealing with my oldest child when she was going through the things that she was going through. I wanted to call my mother up so bad and be like, Mom, what can I do? Because I'm tired. I don't know what else to do. I'm ready to give her up. I'm ready to just, you know, let her go. And I couldn't call my mother. I couldn't call her. What hurted me most was there were those times when I want to hear her voice. I want to hear her say, oh, well, Tamika, it's going to be all right. You got to keep pushing, you know. But not until it was in my darkest hour, you know, I had to realize that my loved ones will always be with me. They will always be with me. Although I can't see them, they're not here in the flesh, they will always be with me. And just like in my children's book, I want to encourage people, I want to encourage children to let them know that although their father, mother, grandmother, sister, brother, whoever, you know, any loved one, they will always be in your heart. So you can look forward to something like Nicole. She looks forward to seeing his bright shining star in the book. And not until the end, she find out that all along this star was her dad, you know. And you just never know. You can just look at the signs. It can be a friend that just come out of nowhere and just remind you of your dad or your mom. And it's like, wow, you know, this person mm-hmm. reminds me of my mom or my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel
mm-hmm.
it. You know that,
all kinds
okay,
of symbolic
my,
things happen.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly. All kinds. And it's just so amazing because that just shows you that your loved one is still with you. They're not here. God took them for a reason. And then we have to realize as well that, you know, although they're not here, they're in a better place than we are. They're not suffering anymore. They're much more happy. And they want us to be able to enjoy life. If God gave us a pulse to live the next day, we got to keep pushing. And just remember
that's
all
it.
The good memories. And
that's
just
it. I said that in my post
going.
Today.
Yes. We just got to keep going. We got to keep going. We can't sit in sorrow because there's nothing we can do. And we can't question God. Because
And that's
know.
The most, that's, to me, that's one of the most hurtful things, especially early
right.
on in your grieving
right.
process. Just
right.
to try to even process that your loved one
yes.
is never coming back. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it takes a minute to get to the
right.
to get to the point where you can say, okay, let me remember the good things. It takes a while
right.
to get there.
It does.
Some people
mm-hmm.
longer than
mm-hmm.
others. And I want to also stress something. I want to stress to Gabby and to anybody else that, you know, has lost a loved one. Do not allow anyone to rush
mm-hmm.
your process. Whatever
That's
feeling
right.
that you have to feel, you have to go through it for however long it is, you know,
right.
and, you know, just try to surround yourself with positive people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely a process. And like,
it's a
process. You know, you're going to have your good days. You're going to have your
mm-hmm.
bad days. You know, holidays is hard, you know, Mother's
very,
Day, Father's
very
Day,
hard.
You know, it's hard. A certain smell, a certain song, a certain
yes.
you know thing.
And
but
you know
you just got to try to.
That's funny. You would say you know talk about smell. I thought about a few things when Tamika was talking. I thought about how Nana, which was my grandmother, Nana was like my
mm-hmm.
second mother, literally. My godmother was like my third mother. So I was raised by those three. So to have lost those
mm-hmm.
two, it was just like whew, you know, but. With my dad, I was just thinking the other day, I don't even remember what his voice sounds like. At least with my grandmother and my godmother, you know, I remember what they sound like because, you know, my grandmother was here
was
with me,
right.
you know,
okay.
for the longest. My godmother mm-hmm. just died exactly 2 weeks before Unique's mother passed 4 years ago. You know, so I remember those things, but I don't remember what he sound like, but I remember what he smells like. What he smelled like, and
mm-hmm.
any man that wears that cologne, I know that that's the cologne that my dad, you know, wore. But I was also
wow.
thinking about the fact that you said you gave your mom the birthday party. And my mother's listening, too, and she can attest to this, because the year that my grandmother died, I kept saying, I was stressing, we have to give Nana
mm-hmm.
a birthday party. And we gave her a big birthday party in the backyard. And so many people that she had not seen in years came to that party, one of which
mm.
was her cousin, which was really like a daughter to her. And I remember when she looked up and saw cousin Teresa standing there, she stretched her eyes open and she said, Teresa? Because she had not seen her in years. Now, Teresa's mother and my grandmother were first cousins, but they were like sisters, very, very close, you know. And so she hadn't seen her in so many years. So it's like another thing is that when God put it on your heart to do something for somebody,
yes.
it's for a reason. And it might not be
yes.
because they're going to leave here soon or whatever, but it's for a reason. And you cannot
mm-hmm.
question it. You just have to do it. And you have to not worry
That's
about
cool.
what I don't have or, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this because I need this dime. Or if God says
right.
do it, if he put it on your heart, then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we would have lost my grandmother talking about, oh, no, let's just wait till 85. 85 is the real, you know, whatever. It wouldn't have been an 85
right.
for her.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That is definitely
wow.
the truth. Yep.
Wow.
That is so
it wouldn't
true.
Have.
That is true. It's, oh, my goodness. It's, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we always think we got tomorrow, that we got next week, next year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who said we got the
power?
you know,
absolutely. Or the next minute, the next second.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, you got to stop taking those things for granted.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like the blessing of it all, sis. I must just say this real quick. I just feel like the blessing of it all is that a lot of times, you know, people don't get together and talk about, you know, grieving and mourning and how they felt, you know, what they think about what it is that they've gone through. And so I'm glad I didn't know which angle I was going to come from or, you know, whatever. I really didn't. I was like, what am I going to say, you know. But whatever it is that any of us have said, we live this. And because we live it every day, that means that somebody else who's just getting into this situation, they can listen to this and be like, I can do this. If, if Mecca and Shawana live without their parents from six, I can do this. If Gabby was strong enough to have just lost her dad a few months ago, not even
in
6 months
June,
ago, and she's up here talking about this, I can do this. You can live.
That's right.
Because as long as your heart is beating, that's what you're here to do.
That's right.
I used to always tell you, Neek, listen, you go ahead and grieve. I said, as long as you ain't trying to do nothing to hurt yourself or nobody else, you do it.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. It's a process.
You know, but I'm sorry, sis, but I definitely had to throw that in there. If you ain't trying to hurt yourself and nobody else, do you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, sis. I'm sorry.
Mm. I was just reflecting on, you know, because, you know, it's a few of us that's friends. And, you know, I lost my mom. And then Anicia lost her dad.
The same time I lost cousin Arvazi.
Yep. And
they died a couple of days apart.
And our friend Kawana, she just lost her dad in January. So it's like, you know, this is what our life has become. You know, we're getting older. So that means our parents are getting older. And it's just like, who wants to be a part of this club? And it's just, you know, nothing can ever prepare you for that. And it's, but, you know, I can say it's comforting when you speak to someone that has gone through it and they can give you advice versus someone that's never been through it that's telling you it's going to be all right. How do you know it's going to be all
right?
You got both of your parents.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to hear that from you. And I can say it was quite a few people that, you know, that would say certain things to me that if I wasn't the person that I was, I would have got offended and I would have, you know, been ready to fight them because of things that they were saying. But, you know, I had to know that they didn't mean it. They was just trying to, you know, to say comforting words because they, you know, they don't know. You've never been through it.
Right.
You don't know what to say. And, you know, a couple of those people, you know, did lose a parent. And it's like, okay, so you're doing the exact same things that I was doing. You know, because I would always post about my mom. It wasn't something that I was thinking about. I just would do it. It was on my heart. It was on my spirit. And I would just do it. And, you know, whatever you got to go through, man, to just, you know, whatever your process is, you know, some people don't want to see pictures of their loved ones because it's too painful, you know. For me, that was comforting.
I couldn't see pictures of my godmother
for
a good while.
Yeah.
I couldn't see pictures of my godmother, but my god sister was always posting them. And she would tell me, I'll take them down. You know, I won't post them if you can't take seeing them. But here's the thing. That was your mother.
Yeah.
And even though she was like my mother, too, because when I tell you, it's nobody on earth that could have ever been as close to me like a mother the way my godmother was. It was to the point where my own mother was worried about me because I grieved so hard. This was my first year that I can say that when September 24th came, I didn't have the feelings that I had, you know, those years prior. I was a mess at that funeral, and everybody knows that I'm not very emotional. So for them to see me at the funeral like that, couldn't walk, couldn't feel my legs, all type of stuff, hyperventilated. People don't see me like that because that's not something that I normally do. But this is a person who took care of me, second to the best on this earth. So, you know, it was difficult. And then months down the line to lose my cousin, who was much like my aunt, my mother and her were like sisters, you know, those two were my mother figures. So it was and it still is very difficult because I lost people, like I always tell people, I lost people straight from 2013 straight through 2015. So, with, you know, these 4 years, everybody's anniversary comes back to back to back to back for me. And it's difficult, you know, nothing in comparison, like I said, to losing my godmother and my, you know, and my cousin Aunt Rosie, because they were mother figures to me, but I am still standing. And I would always ask God, I was just telling my mother the other day that I would say, God, I said, God, this hurts too bad. Like, I can't live like this. Like, I can't. Like, it's, you know, it would come out of the blue. I had a bag of things that belonged to my godmother that I left in a corner for like a year. Matter of fact, maybe more than a year. More than a year, actually, because I think I just was able last year to take the stuff out. I didn't want to share the stuff. Like, you know, it was a lot. I didn't give anything to my mother in the bag until I felt comfortable, you know, and now I can sleep in her nightgown and stuff like that. But in the beginning, I couldn't do that stuff. That stuff stayed right in the bag, in the corner. But again, you have to do your process the way that you do your process, as long as you're not trying to do something to yourself that's going to be detrimental. So we hope and pray that this was a help to someone. You know, Unique and I always say, if you hear our shows and, you know, you want to inbox us, we don't claim to be professionals. We just people who've been through some things. And as a result, we don't mind talking about what we've been through.
Yes.
So, you know, people, y'all can reach out to us on the Unique Mecca page on Facebook, or y'all can reach out to us. If you find that Unique story was a little bit more appealing, Mecca need to mind her business, then reach out to her on the Unique Karma page. And let's just be there, you know, for another. And let me just say hi to my mom real quick, because I know she might want to say something. And, you know, and then what you going to say? What was you saying, sis?
Hi.
Is she there? Ma?
Hello.
I'm here.
Good evening.
Hi, Ma.
Hi,
baby.
Hi, Nisa.
Hi.
How you doing, boo?
Hi.
Hi, babe. How you doing? I'm blessed.
I'm
how you
good.
Doing? Yeah, losing the parent. It's just so hard, and it's a pain you never forget. It does get better. It gets easier as the years go on. But my years might not be your years, you know? Everybody has their way of grieving and how long it might take or what they do in their grieving, you know? But we serve an awesome God, and it wasn't for him. And my children, I don't think I'd be here either twice, three times. You know, just losing my husband, my family, my mom, my dad, when I was two. So I don't even know what it is to have a dad. I don't know what it is to have grandparents. They passed also. But
right, it was you and Nana.
Yeah, it was like she and I against the world. You know, so I didn't know what it was to have siblings. No, I didn't know what it was to have a dad. It was just me and Nana.
Yeah, that was my grandma. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
Part of me, you know. To the point I passed.
I don't know what you're doing
in
the background, Ma, but it sounds funny. You scratch your phone, sounds scratchy or something. I don't know what you're doing. But I knew that.
My nerves.
I knew that. I knew that you probably wanted to just say something really quickly. We're about to end the show, but I wanted to open the line for you. I want to get into one more song,
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
I wanted to get into one more song, and then, you know, if nobody else has anything else they would like to say, then we are going to close for the night.
I would love to say, even though it was 2 days ago, I want to say happy 62nd birthday in heaven to my mother.
That's
I
right,
love
Auntie
you,
Netta.
And I always, always miss you. Hold you dear to my heart.
That's right. All righty, y'all. So without further ado, this is one of my favorite songs. I think she tore this song up so bad that I didn't even realize what it was about until I really, really had to listen to it. So Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day.
Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Mecca. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Mecca, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueMecca. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.